ജ്ഞാനതിമിരന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനഞ്ജനശലാഖയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ.
मतलब अभी मैं तुमको सर्वगुह्यतम ज्ञान बताऊंगा. भगवद गीता गुह्य ज्ञान है. राजा विद्या राजा गुह्यम, विद्या का राजा और बहुत ही गुह्य है. कैसे सभी जाएगा भगवद गीता मिलते है, गीता प्रेस की गीता सब जाएगा मिलते है 1 रुपया में, और अभी 2 रुपया ऐसा सस्ता है. तो कैसे ये ज्ञान गुह्य है, क्योंकि खाली गीता और सब श्लोक पढ़ने से या सुनने से वो ज्ञान का साक्षात्कार नहीं होते. भक्त्या माम अभिजानाति, भक्ति मार्ग भक्ति साधना के द्वारा भगवान को मालूम है. खाली पांडित्य के द्वारा नहीं, खाली कोई दूसरा साधन मार्ग के द्वारा भगवान को नहीं मिलते. तपस्या से, दूसरे प्रकार जप करने से और वानाश्रम धर्म अपना आश्रम के नियमों पालन करने से, अच्छा ब्राह्मण होने से, वो सब करने से भगवान संतुष्ट नहीं होते. संतुष्ट होते हैं मतलब अगर कोई तपस्या करते है और काम ज्ञान योग इत्यादि करते है, वो कोई धार्मिक विधि पालन ना करने से अच्छा है. मतलब एकदम पापी होने से शास्त्र विधि पालन करना अच्छा हो. लेकिन वास्तव में केवल भक्ति के द्वारा भगवान संतुष्ट होते हैं. और अगर कोई भक्त है, अगर भक्ति करना है, तो भगवान ऐसे भक्तों को अपना दर्शन देते. अतः श्री कृष्ण नाम आदि नभावेद ग्राह्य इंद्रियाय सेवन मुखे ही जीवादव स्वयं स्फुरति. अतः अपनी बुद्धि से या कोई दूसरे प्रयास से भगवान का साक्षात्कार करना संभव नहीं है. लेकिन अगर हम सेवा भावी होते, अगर हम सेवा करते, तो भगवान स्वयं हमको अपना दर्शन देते. तो कैसे ही सेवा करना है, सेवा मुखे ही जीवा, सेवा जीवा से शुरू होती है. तो जीवा का 2 कार्य है, एक है शब्द उच्चारण करना. तो क्या शब्द उच्चारण करना चाहिए भगवान की सेवा में, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. और जीवा का दूसरा काम आस्वाद करना, तो प्रसाद लेना चाहिए, श्री कृष्ण का प्रसाद. तो प्रसाद लेना उसका क्या मतलब, तो भक्तों ऐसे संकल्प करते कि प्रसाद के अलावा हम और कुछ नहीं लेंगे, सिर्फ भगवान का प्रसाद लेना, वो ही प्रसाद से. तो हम अगर प्रसाद लेते हैं और दूसरे समय होटल में खाते हैं, दूसरे दूसरे को चीज खाते हैं, तो वो अच्छी तरह प्रसाद सेवा नहीं है. प्रसाद भोजी होना चाहिए, उसका मतलब खाली कृष्ण प्रसाद लेना. Anyway, they asked me to speak in Hindi for a few minutes just to show you that I could speak Hindi. So now I did it. So now I'll speak in English. So really, what Krishna wants is Savadhaman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Bhaja, to take shelter of Krishna. These two, the Sarvagu Yatamam Bhuya Shunume Paramang Vacha. Now Krishna says, I will speak to you the topmost, most secret knowledge. What is that? To become his devotee, to surrender to him, to bow down to him, to worship him, to go to him, to fully surrender to him. Mamekam Sharanam Bhaja. So Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. There are certain things to be done, just like I was saying, only taking prasad. Making the practice to chant the names of Krishna, to make the practice to think of Krishna. Sharanagati means to always think of Krishna. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. real taking shelter means to always think of Krishna. These two things, it's not that it's a different instruction. When Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto, then again he says, savadhaman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam raja. It's the same thing. Because if we always think of Krishna, that means we're taking shelter of him. Of course, there's another way of thinking of Krishna. It's like Kamsa was also thinking of Krishna. But that is not bhakti. That is pratiku. Anukul yena Krishna anushilana. One should cultivate Krishna consciousness in a favorable mood. So that, how to come to that point of always thinking of Krishna? There are certain rules and regulations. Bhakti sadhana. This is the process. The process to attain Krishna is by the process of bhakti. In the early stage that is called sadhana bhakti. And later on that is called the raga mark. Sadhana bhakti means that we follow certain rules and regulations which put us in the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. The goal is to always think of Krishna and fully surrender to Him. So to do that, we have to take up some practice. Now we are not practiced. Actually, it is fully natural to always think of Krishna. But we are in an unnatural situation. We're not where we belong, which is back home, back to Godhead, just like you can appreciate to some extent. Even though you are living here in Dubai, you are not at home. You are in a foreign land. So you are always feeling that. You are not fully comfortable. Now, in the same way, our real home, just like you are thinking your real home is in India, so you feel more comfortable there. Somehow you are adjusting here. So actually our real home is not India. Our real home is Golok Vrindavan, in the spiritual world with Krishna. So somehow you're adjusting here and you're feeling comfortable, but really you're not, you can never really be fully satisfied. So in the same way we're adjusting in this material world, but we can never be fully satisfied because we're in an unnatural atmosphere. But we're here so long that we forgot. Krishna Bhuli Sejiv Anadi Bahimuk. Since time immemorial, we are in this material world forgetting Krishna. So there is a process called sadhana bhakti, which puts us in the atmosphere of bhakti, just like how to learn to swim. You have to get into the water. You can't learn to swim without getting in the water. You can maybe do some exercise like this on the land. But if you want to learn to swim, you have to get into this. The prerequisite is you have to get in the water. So in the same way, if we want to come to the atmosphere of bhakti, we have to enter into that. So what is bhakti? What is going on? What is going on in the spiritual world? What is the spiritual situation? We hear this term many times. So and so, he is a spiritualist. But what is the meaning of spiritual life? This meaning of spiritual life, that is to be with Krishna in the spiritual world. What are they doing there? There are so many descriptions. Sugita nartane shabashaki gane tushicha shobhavana. They're singing and dancing and glorifying Krishna, going through the different forests of Vrindavan. But that is the activity of the spiritual world. What are the Rajavasis doing? Glorifying Krishna, thinking of Krishna, being his devotees. What do devotees do? Satatam kirtayantoma. They're serving Krishna, yatantascha dhiravata. They're always thinking of Krishna, serving Krishna. So that is the Vrindavan atmosphere, chanting Hare Krishna. So the bhakti sadhana, that puts us in the atmosphere of serving Krishna. Then we wake up. The atmosphere of serving Krishna means we immediately start. Just like swimming, if you get thrown in the water, you immediately have to start getting accustomed to how the water is. So in the same way, when we take up bhakti sadhana, the first thing we do, we start chanting, taking prasad. The very first thing you do. What are the inhabitants of the spiritual world doing? They're chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad. So you start off. The very beginning, you start to become accustomed. And there are rules and regulations in bhakti sadhana, bowing down, circumambulating the temple, associating with devotees. There are so many rules and regulations. These are meant for waking us up. Just like if you have amnesia, maybe someone has an accident, their head becomes banged in an accident. then they forget, who am I? Who is my wife? Who are my children? They forget everything. So what is the cure for amnesia? You have to put the person in contact with the things that are, that he's most familiar with. That is, his wife will come and she'll say, don't you remember this and that, and say his name, and gradually he'll wake up and remember. So similarly, the process of Krishna Bhakti is to come in contact with Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabunai Shadhanadi Shuddha Chitri Kariye Udhani. This is the process. That we are by nature Krishna conscious, but we have forgotten. So by hearing, and by the process of sadhana bhakti, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, that naturally awakens. Just like when you have amnesia, you gradually awaken. And the reality of Krishna consciousness that arises in our heart by the process of bhakti. This is the reality. We take up shravanadi, hearing, chanting. There are many processes of Krishna consciousness. There are unlimited ways to serve Krishna, of which 64 especially have been listed. 64 main processes have been listed by Rupa Goswami. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Sadharma Sangsthapaka. Rupa Goswami, along with the other Goswamis, went through all the literatures. It was such a big job studying all the literatures and picking out the main points from all the Vedic literatures and establishing what is the goal of life and how to attain it. What is the goal of life? Man mana bhava mad bhakta. To always think of Krishna. And how to attain it? The process is there. Bhakti. By bhakti, you become a bhakta. Just like Prabhupada was sometimes asked, what does this chanting lead to? Prabhupada said, more chanting. It's not that you chant and then at some stage you get to some certain stage of realization, then you go beyond that. No, rather you chant, don't mean on Bhagavad Gita. You chant, in the neophyte stage we're chanting, somehow or other we're making some, just like the baby, you see the baby is making some noise. But that baby may someday may be giving speeches, highly learned speeches in the university. So in the beginning stage, the child is just making some noise, you see. Practical demonstration. But gradually that becomes regulated. The mother says, Mama, and the father says, Papa, and tries to train them up. And gradually they learn this. What is this? What is that? And they connect the sound mic is connected to this object, and gradually they learn what everything means and they learn how to put it all together. So it's in the same way, in the early stage we're chanting Hare Krishna. Practically we see that many people, when they first come to chant Hare Krishna, they can hardly chant at all. They can't pronounce it. It's very simple to chant Hare Krishna. But we're so unaccustomed that we have all kinds of unusual sounds being made in the name of japa, Hare Krishna, and all kinds of Hari Hari Hari, that's a very common one. Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Hari, instead of Hare Hare. So in the beginning we may be so much unaccustomed to chanting that we're not even chanting clearly, but that, of course, that has to be rectified. We have to chant six solonam, pati saksha. That has to be chanted properly. But the result of that chanting will advance in chanting. So pure devotee of Krishna is chanting Hare Krishna. And neophyte devotee is chanting. The neophyte is chanting and gradually comes more and more enlightened by chanting. He goes through stages. In the beginning, just trying to fix the mind on the name. But gradually, as he becomes more accustomed, the pure devotee likes to chant the holy name, knowing that the name of Krishna is none different from Krishna. And then Krishna manifests himself. So, chanting, and side by side with chanting, hearing. Who is this Krishna that we're chanting about? Studying Shastra. Shastra is none different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. So when we study the Shastras, then we can see Krishna, because Krishna is Bhagavatam in book form, literary incarnation. And we have the commentaries of the acharyas who are giving us Krishna. Krishna is not very easy to understand in our present fallen stage. But the acharyas, they have given us Krishna. They write, all the acharyas, so many commentaries on Bhagavata. And Prabhupada has distilled the essence of all the acharyas' commentaries in his Bhagavata, so we can understand. Otherwise, if you pick up Bhagavad Gita and just read the verses, it's very difficult to understand. You see, there are many people who are studying Bhagavad Gita, but they don't come to the conclusion, even though when it's pointed out by a pure devotee, Prabhupada, he's pointed out, this is the meaning of Gita. Manmana bhava madbhakta, the whole Bhagavad Gita is meant for understanding Krishna. But if we don't approach through the parampara system, the Shastra, then even though the Shastra is Krishna, that won't be manifest. And even though it's very clear, Krishna is saying, always think of me and become my devotee, we won't be able to become his devotees unless we go through the parampara system, because Krishna only reveals himself through his devotees. So we have to study Shastra and follow the process of Krishna consciousness through the parampara system. And if we do that, with the proper method, there are so many things we have to bring into consideration. What is our attitude? Do we actually want to be a pure devotee? Are we inoffensive? There are so many considerations. But if we follow the process properly, then we can see Krishna in every page of the Bhagavatam, because Krishna is Bhagavatam, Krishna is Gita. Therefore, we study the shlokas also, because the shlokas, these are Krishna. And as we study more and more, then we contemplate the subject matter. We've studied so many verses. It's not just for learning and memorizing. It's not an academic exercise. You see, so many people here are studying shlokas. Why is that? Because it is rasayana katha. It's very pleasing. It's very pleasing to the heart. That verse is there. Nivritta tashaya upagiya manat. This Maharaj Parikshit is saying, he's heard, is at the beginning of the 10th canto. He's heard 9 cantos of Bhagavata. Now he wants to hear directly about Krishna. So he's encouraging Shukadeva to go on speaking. Nivritta tashaya upagiya manat. What's the next line? Rasayana katha baba shodach chotra manobiramat ka utama shloka gunana vadam puman virajit. I'm not remembering now. Anyway, the purport is this, that he's saying that nivritta tashaya, who is nivritta trishna, who is free from material desires, he can relish this hearing the pastimes of Krishna. And that is rasayana katha. It's like a rasayana. Rasayana means it's a kind of medicine, and if you're sick, it's a medicine, and if you're cured, if you're healthy, it's a tonic. So hearing Krishna katha is like that. For those who are sick with the disease of material life, it is a medicine. And for those who are already perfect, liberated soul, then it is a tonic. So, hearing Krishna katha is rasayana katha. Bhavanti hridkana rasayana katha. It's very pleasing to the ears and the heart. There are many, many verses that speak how it's very pleasing to hear about Krishna katha. There are so many, who can say some verses? So many verses. It is very pleasing to svadu, svadu, pade, pade. Yajchinvatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. Those who are enjoying Krishna consciousness, they relish to hear about Krishna at every step. They're enjoying to hear that. Who can say some other verse? There's some. Say it, Machita. Tushanti charamanticha. Translation? Machita. The pure devotees, they take great pleasure in always thinking of me. They've made me the goal of their lives. They take pleasure in discussing about me among themselves. In this way, they're very satisfied and they take great pleasure. Katyantascha mam nityam. They're always discussing about him. So in this way, there are many, many verses throughout the Bhagavatam and Gita which encourage us to hear more and more about Krishna. It is pleasing. When you're chanting these verses, it's very pleasing. Why is that? It's not just because it's some poetry, but because these verses, naturally the sound is very pleasing. If you hear the verse, sometimes Prabhupada was saying, oh, how nice, just even the sound, Prabhupada was enjoying. One verse he was saying again and again, Samashuta ye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya shomarari padam vadeya vatsa padam 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 yandri padam matesha. How beautiful is the verse. We have so many beautiful verses. Yang shama sundaram achintya guna sarupa. These verses, the sound is very beautiful, but then if you hear, what are we describing? Yang Shama Sundaram, his beautiful form of Shama Sundaram, Achintya Guna Sarupam, his form is composed of inconceivable, wonderful qualities. This verse that we sing in our temple every day, this, Deinam Kvananda Maravinda Dalaya Tasha, Bahavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundaram, Kandarva Koti Gamaniya Visheshashu, Govinda Vadi Purusham Tamham Vajam. How beautiful! How Krishna is playing his flute. Aravinda Dalaya Taksham. His eyes are just like the blooming lotus petals. Bahavatam Singh, his peacock feather in his hair, in his head. Then Asitambuddha Sundarangam. He's like, his bodily features are beautiful, like a blackish cloud. Then Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya. Which is, his bodily beauty is so extraordinarily attractive that many, many millions of cupids, it's defeating. So like this, there are so many beautiful verses, they are non-different from Krishna. And as we go on chanting and hearing these verses, then we appreciate how this is Krishna. And remembrance of Krishna comes naturally. This is a very... We're always, how can we think of Krishna? It comes very naturally. If you're always absorbed in thinking of these verses, chanting these verses, then it's very pleasing. And naturally you get a taste for that. And you want to go on doing it more and more and more. And there are unlimited verses. Don't think that your sloka class is ever going to be finished. Because there are so many. My one godbrother, Kushakata Prabhu, he has translated over 300 books. Mostly from Sanskrit and some from Bengali. So he was saying to me how some people, they're asking that, well, what happens when you run out of books? So there's no question, there's no end. There's no end to the many, 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 so many books. Even if you sat down now and you know Sanskrit and you started reading all the Vaishnava literatures and you read 24 hours a day and you never slept, you never ate, you won't finish in your life if someone is coming and bringing... There's so many books. And even if you read only one chapter of Bhagavad Gita again and again and again all your life, you'll also never finish. Because it's not that you read this book, okay, I finished, all right, what's the next book? But again and again you read, because these books, they are unlimited. We say Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. What does that mean? That means that just as Krishna is unlimited, so Bhagavatam is unlimited. People see the deity of Krishna, they think it's just a stone. But the devotee knows this is Krishna. He is unlimited. The Mayavadis, they can't understand. They see the form of Krishna, they think he's limited. Because he's in one place, that means he's limited. But he's in one place, but simultaneously, he's everywhere. Andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam ko lokareva nivisati akilatma bhuto. He's within every atom, within every heart. He's in Golok Vrindavan. He's everywhere and simultaneously he's in his own abode. So that is Krishna. Devotee understands how Krishna is unlimited. And by studying the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, Satang Prasangana Mavirya Sangvido Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Kata. There the verse comes again. Tad Joshvana Rashva Fabhagavat Mani Shodharatiya Bhakti Anukramishyati. So by studying in the association of devotees, these, what happens? satam prasangam, nama virya sang, hearing the discussions of Krishna, then it becomes very dear, very pleasing to the mind and heart, ear and heart. Then by hearing one becomes gradually advanced on the path of liberation. His faith, his feelings for Krishna, and his devotion to Krishna all develop gradually. So this is what happens when you go on discussing these things. It's like rubbing chandan, wood, on the stone, and more comes. More nice scent comes. So by studying these books, Srimad Bhagavat, you can read hundreds of books, or you can read one, you can read Eko Shastram Devaki Putra Gita, you can read this one book. And you can read Bhagavata. Practically, Prabhupada said there are four books which are very important. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can read many. There are so many nectar. Even the original Shastras, there are also so many books of which devotees have written in their appreciation. Naturally, all devotees, they like to write some books about Krishna. It's spontaneous. Because that is the function of the soul, to glorify Krishna, kirtan. So kirtan means preaching, telling others about Krishna. Appreciation of Krishna is not limited. It's not that all the books about Krishna have ever been written. There's no end. Because there are so many different devotees, they all have their different realizations and different appreciations of Krishna. And apart from that, that's one side of preaching, praying pracharan. And the other side is pashanda dalam. That means smashing all the wrong ideas. So in preaching, in human society, there are always so many wrong ideas. There are, which manifest in different ways at different times. So preaching means also to rebut these wrong ideas. That's why we'll find in Bhagavatam that it is, in Bhagavatam there is discussion of the pastimes of Krishna, but there's also Vedanta philosophy. Janmadhyasya yataha, Vedanta philosophy. So in the Vedanta we see that the absolute truth is established, defeating all other theories. So in Srimad Bhagavatam also there are discussions of so many wrong, what are the wrong philosophies and what is the right philosophy, what is the actual fact, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. This is established. Especially we find in the prayers of the personified Vedas, the Mayavad idea which kills pure devotion to Krishna. This idea that God is not a person, that everything is ultimately all one, this is very philosophically analyzed, and this idea is destroyed in the prayers of the personified Vedas. So Bhagavatam is a book of philosophy. That philosophy is required to understand Krishna. Simply by sentiment, if we have some idea, that sentiment means that we're trying to understand through our simply some feelings. But at the present time, our feelings are contaminated by desires for material enjoyment. Therefore, by hearing the philosophy that how Krishna is supreme, I am his eternal servant, then gradually we become fixed in consciousness, fixed in the consciousness that I am the servant of Krishna. Who is Krishna? So when that is very clearly fixed in our understanding that I am the servant of Krishna, then we can begin to enter into the relationship with Krishna. Krishna consciousness means to enter into relationship with Krishna. That relationship is there, that has to be re-established. But we have forgotten that. And therefore we have so many wrong ideas. All the different philosophies in the world, they're all coming from Icchā Dvesha Samuttena, Dvandva Mohena Bhāt. Because we have wrong desire and dislike of Krishna, which is absolutely unnatural for us. Therefore, we are in the deluded position of dvandva, duality. Duality means thinking ourselves different from Krishna. We are also Advaitavadis. Actually, devotees, they are the best Advaitavadis because they know that I am not different, I am not separate from Krishna. I am not separated from Krishna. I cannot be separated from Krishna because I am his eternal servant. So devotees, there are Advaitavadis and Dvaitavadis also. The best real Advaitavad means to know that I cannot at any time be separated from Krishna. And to think otherwise is a mistake. So devotee, he hears Bhagavatam, has these points explained, and gradually, by practicing, chanting Hare Krishna, he learns academically, and also by chanting and serving, then the consciousness comes. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, in traditional Hindu society, the boys and girls are married very young, before puberty. Even once I was in Bihar, I saw some young girls running on, chasing, 5 years old, all with the sindur, they're married. So nowadays they say this is very wrong and they should all study until they're 25 in the college and then become a manager and something like this. But anyway, the traditional culture was the young girls, they'll be married, and the boy will also be, maybe she's 5 and he's 10. So what do they know? What marriage is? They're children. So then how are you going to bring them together? So gradually the girl, when she gets a little bit older, she'll be sent to that boy's house, bring some food, feed him, serve him, and then she knows, this is my husband, and he knows, this is my wife, and they're gradually becoming a little older, getting to understand. So that relationship is established on the basis of service. And she's thinking, this is my husband, he's thinking, this is my wife. And in this way, that relationship becomes very thick. It's different to the modern idea of love marriage, where you just look at each other and you fall in love, but there's no basis of service or responsibility. Therefore, after some time, you fall out of love. That's why we see so many cases of divorce in India. You ask, why, what happened? Love marriage. And that's the explanation. Because it was not based on service and mutual responsibility. So that example is there, that the girl starts to serve the boy, and then the relationship comes on the basis of service. So in the same way, by serving Krishna, the relationship becomes established. It's different to the modern idea of love marriage, where you just look at each other and you fall in love, but there's no basis of service or responsibility. Therefore, after some time, you fall out of love. That's why we see so many cases of divorce in India. You ask, why, what happened? Love marriage. And that's the explanation. Because it was not based on service and mutual responsibility. So that example is there, that the girl starts to serve the boy, and then the relationship comes on the basis of service. So in the same way, by serving Krishna, the relationship becomes established. And how to act in that relationship, that gradually becomes clear as we go on. And we're also trained by other devotees, just like the young girl is trained by her in-laws. Now you should do this, now you should do that, and gradually she learns what to do. So in the same way, by associating with devotees and serving Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, then gradually our original consciousness is revived. It's a natural thing, it's not an unnatural thing. As Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition. But it springs naturally. It's not that we are trying to brainwash ourselves to imagine that we are servants of Krishna. But it is a very natural thing. At the present time, we are thinking that this is reality. I'm living here in this world. Reality is living in Dubai, doing some job, going to the supermarket, eating my meals. This is reality. But by hearing Shastra, we hear about the vastavik vastu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the really real thing. What is the actual reality? Tasmat. What is that? Beyond this material world, there is the spiritual world, beyond this world which is ever created and destroyed. There is the spiritual world. This is the reality. Krishna is speaking to us that you don't belong here in this material world. You belong in the spiritual world. This is reality, the spiritual world. So a devotee hears these descriptions. It's not simply some poetic ornamentation. Bahavatam samasitam buddha sundaranga. It's not simply some poetic ornamentation, but you realize that, yes, my real life is with Krishna. I'm here, I'm stuck in this body due to my sinful activities, but my real life is with Krishna. So even though a devotee is living in this world, but he is not in this world. His consciousness remains in this world for the sake of performing whatever duties he has to perform, but the consciousness is trained to be Krishna conscious, to think of how Krishna is going to the forest, how the gopis are waiting for him to come back, how the cowherd boys are dancing with him in his different incarnations. By hearing the message of Bhagavatam, we come to realize that this is the reality. I don't belong here. I don't belong here in this material world. My reality is in the spiritual world with Krishna. By cultivating that consciousness, then he comes to see everything around him as simply some phantasmagoria. The reality is Krishna. He acts in this world as he should act. A devotee is not negligent in his worldly duties. He performs whatever worldly duties he has to do, but he cultivates hearing about Krishna and understands that my reality is with Krishna. Even some devotees, they completely forgot that they're in this world at all. Maybe some of you read that book about Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. He was in this world, but by his consciousness, he wasn't here at all. He was always living in Vrindavan with Krishna. He wasn't cognizant practically of the people around him or what they were saying or what they were talking about. He was apparently like a crazy man because he was just with Krishna. He was all the time, he had his deities and he was talking to his deities and that was his work. So all pure devotees are like that. They're actually living with Krishna. But Kulashekhar Alva, his story is very nice, how he was hearing Ram Leela, how Ram is in the forest alone and all the Rakshasas are coming to attack him. So he's hearing Ramayana and immediately ordered, bring out the army, come on, we have to go. Ram's all alone in the forest, we have to go. So the ministers are wondering what to do. So then they quickly read through the Ramayana and read loudly in his ear, and Ram defeated them all. Okay, call the army back. So like that, a pure devotee, he's living, he doesn't see this world as reality. He opened the newspaper, what's going on in the world? Bill Clinton says this, and Tony Blair says that, and who are these people? There's some, you see some ant is crawling here. Who are these people? The big, big people on TV, shaking hands, summit meeting. What are these? What are these people? Who are they? Why? What's so important about them? We should have daily news. What is the daily news? Krishna is leaving to go to the forest. This is the news. See, we have the Shastra. This is what we're reading in the Shastra, how Krishna is going to the forest, gopis are lamenting, the coward boys are very happy, they're stealing his lunch pack, Krishna's eating, and he's taking from someone else's plate, and what nice food Krishna is eating, and Lord Brahma is looking and saying, I don't think this is God. How can he be God? He's just eating some ordinary food cooked by a village woman, taking out some cows. So this is the news. What is going on in the spiritual world? This is reality for the devotee. And even, you see, Bhagavatam is under every verse. You can contemplate. Practically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the ideal acharya. What was he doing in Puri all those years? I remember I gave this book, Vamsidas Babaji, to one person here in Dubai. He's a businessman. So he looked at it and said, well, what did he do? Why do you write a book about him? What did he do? He's just a sadhu, that's all. What did he do? What did he do? He was always thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. And what did you do? You build a big business, this, that, and then you become a dog or a cat in your next life. What is the value? If you can think of Krishna, that is what you should. Everything else is just all a complete waste of time. But who can think of Krishna? He has achieved the perfection of life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to show us that. He came, naturally he was always thinking of Krishna. So he came to show us how to think of Krishna by his practical activity. What was he doing in Puri all those years? He was chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, and relishing the Bhagavatam. Relishing the Bhagavatam, Gita Govinda especially, and Ramananda's Jagannath Vallabh Natak, the songs of Chandidas, Bhavabhuti. He was simply hearing about Krishna and appreciating the different moods and always thinking, where is Krishna? Practically all the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, he was in the mood of Radharani after Krishna had left Vrindavan and was simply thinking, when will Krishna come? Will Krishna come? Maybe he won't come. Yes, he must come. He promised he would come. Will he come? So all the time, day and night, especially at night, during the day he had various activities, but especially at the night time, he would simply be absorbed in the mood of the gopis. And he recommended them that Ramya Kachetu Pasana, Rajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita, that the best method of worship of Krishna is that given by the gopis, because they are the personification of Manmana Bhava Madhvartam, always thinking of Krishna, becoming his devotee. They are the personification of surrender to Krishna. So this bhakti sadhana process, that is to awaken what we have forgotten. What great treasure is there? Love of Krishna. That by hearing and chanting about Krishna, that will become awakened. And there's no limit. There's no limit how far you can go. You see, in this material world, there's some limit. Most people can't go very far. Everyone, so many people are coming to say, telling me I want to be rich. But mostly you can't be rich, because not everyone can be rich. But even if you can, how much can you get? What's the biggest achievement you could have? Maybe you could rule the whole world. Who was the biggest ruler in history that we know in this Kali Yuga? Who was Stalin. He ruled, he had more power than any person in modern history. But how long could he keep it for? He's gone. Who knows what nasty place he's gone to. So how big can you become? And even that, whatever you get, it's temporary. Even if you become Stalin or you become Bill Gates, big business empire, you can't keep it. It's not going to stay forever. But if you become Krishna conscious, just like Mahamani Krishna Prabhu has a program to make everyone rich. We're going among the poor, needy people and making everyone rich. Rich with Krishna Bhakti. If you have Krishna Bhakti, you don't have to have money, prestige, position. Practically, the devotees, they laugh at these things. They're not injured. What is this? You have so much money. We don't care. We have Bhagavad Gita. What do we need? So much money. Krishna will give some food, whatever you require. If he doesn't, all right, that's also his mercy. That is the mood of a devotee. But he's enriched with love of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So this is the program to make your life rich unlimitedly. What is the limit? You go for a job. How much pay will I get? Let me move to a job when I get more pay. You should get more facilities. Get more. Less work, more pay. This is what we want. So with Krishna consciousness, actually we want more work and no pay. See, we want to do all service for Krishna and no money. If people, they have no jobs, we can give them jobs. You want to be a brahmachari? We'll give you. Long hours, hard work, no pay. We'll give you prasad twice a day and 2-3 dhotis, and that's it. You can sleep on the floor. But then what do you get? People are, sometimes they come and say, what do you get? What is the benefit of this Krishna consciousness? A materialistic person, they can't understand at all. Why should anyone do that? But a devotee, what does he get? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, हाँ बेटन मरे दिया तोमा प्रेम धन He said that I want wait this na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishakam rama janmani janmani shrey bhavatad bhaktir haituki twai I don't want money I don't want beautiful women I don't want prestige followers I don't want anything whatever you want whatever you offer me I don't even want liberation you must want something everyone has some desire you're not a stone then what do you want what wages do you want I want love of Krishna. I want to say it this way. So the body becomes the richest and there's no limit. 9,000 dirhams a month, 12,000 dirhams a month. How much can you earn? But a devotee, at every moment, he achieves that which cannot be achieved by even the wealthiest person in the world. Do they have happiness? No. Do they know who they are? No. Where are they going after death? They don't know. They have no idea. They don't want to know. But devotee, at every moment, swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade, yad shringvatam rasa jnanam, swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade, at every moment, pratipadam purnam vita swadhanam, whatever you get in this life, Krishna consciousness, even if you don't become fully perfect, that is your eternal benefit. So there's no loss. So in all respects, Krishna is giving the best knowledge of all. Always think of me. Become my devotee. There's no end. It's simply eternal nectar for the devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the ideal acharya. He was relishing this nectar of Krishna consciousness. And he asked his followers also to spread that to others. And he personally did that. Although he's God himself, he went traveling to so many towns and villages in Bengal, South India, West India. Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram, went door to door begging people, please chant Hare Krishna. So to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should also follow his instruction, Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh, Amaranga Guru Hoya Tara Hidesh, wherever you go, whoever you meet, inform people about Krishna. In this way, become a guru and deliver the land. So by doing this, by spreading Krishna consciousness, by trying to give to others, you get more. The more you give away, the more you get. Anything material, if you give it away, you lose it. But if you try to give Krishna consciousness to others, you get it more and more and more. Of course, not everyone will appreciate. Some people won't like it. But anyway, we have to try. If we try to spread this Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be very pleased, and by his grace, we can enter into the mysteries of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So any question, please?
How would you differentiate between ISKCON or compare with other organizations who are teaching God consciousness?
What do you mean by God consciousness? What do they mean by God consciousness? ISKCON means International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if we are to understand who God is, we should say Krishna. If you really want to understand who God is, then you should say Krishna. So the difference between ISKCON and anything else is that others may say this, that, and the other about God. But we are very clearly saying no vagueness. Sabhagavan Swayam Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Clear knowledge of God. Not just vague. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very clearly established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are preaching that message. Not vague, that take it any way you like. No. We don't take it any way we like. We simply want to do what Krishna says. We are servants of Krishna.
We are trying to induct new people into Krishna consciousness. How much Krishna can we apply or should we apply Krishna at all?
That you have to see in every individual case.
Like you said,
it depends. I mean, it depends on the individual person also. Everyone is an individual person. So some different people have different ways of preaching also. Some people put more pressure, some less. Some are more expert in doing so, others less so. The general principle is to induce people to come to Krishna consciousness. Exactly how you do it, you have to see in each case. Pressure means we should speak. What is the fact? The fact is that we are eternal servants of Krishna. If you don't take this up, you're missing the great opportunity. So that may be taken as some pressure just to speak the fact or the truth. If we say, well, you know, you can chant Hare Krishna if you like, if you don't, it doesn't matter. Then you're not really giving the actual fact. The actual fact is that if you don't chant Hare Krishna, you're really spoiling your life. You should chant Hare Krishna. So it's good to put some pressure. Exactly how, that will depend in different cases. Some people, they're so sweet in their approach that people, they become attracted by that. So there are different ways of doing it. Somehow or other you do it. The main thing is, if we are convinced ourselves, then we can convince others. Even then, not everyone will be convinced. Just like Prabhupada traveled all over the world, he preached to so many people, it's not that everyone took it up. We should try. Whether others take or not, that we shall see. Prabhupada, generally, he was, a very strong preacher. Yeah, well, I don't think I said it in this lecture, but I do say it.
At the end of your life, if you happen to be in an imperfectionist state also, you carry the benefits of having chanted Hare Krishna. Do you mean to say that even after having chanted for the rest of our lives, 16 rounds, you wouldn't get a...
You may or may not go back to Godhead. That depends on the quality of our chanting also. That depends on the quality of our chanting. But generally those who chant, it's a very powerful process. We may not even see how we're making advancement. But it acts very powerfully. If we are sincere, and anyone who's chanting 60 rounds, they must be somewhat sincere to do that, because it requires some dedication to do that. So we've seen many, many cases of how Krishna arranges for people, even they may be somewhat frivolous in their practices or whatever, but we see many, many cases how Krishna arranges for people to become very serious and go back to Godhead. We've seen already, I've seen several godbrothers, godsisters who were chanting Hare Krishna, then they lapsed away from the process, and then they got some disease, and then they thought, wait a minute, I'm going to die now. So then they became very serious. So Krishna is very kind. He wants us to come to Him. If we take up this process seriously, Krishna will help us to come to the perfectional stage. But at the same time, we shouldn't be complacent and think that, well, I can just practice Krishna consciousness seriously, not seriously, it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. It certainly makes a difference. We should always try to be more serious. You're chanting? Go on chanting. Can I suggest something else you could do? Alright, you could wear tilak. That would be very nice. At least when you come to these satsangs. That will be more pleasing to Krishna. Please define the following terms. Consciousness. Consciousness means awareness. So, Krishna consciousness means to be aware of Krishna. That we want. Now we're conscious, we're simply seeing the stone, the building, other people. But Krishna consciousness means to be aware of Krishna. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. One who sees Krishna and everything in Krishna, he is never separated from Krishna. He never forgets Krishna and Krishna never forgets him. What is the meaning of ecstasy? That you can define. You can look in a dictionary and define. That may be said as the overflowing happiness. But simply by defining it, you don't experience it. To experience it, you have to dedicate yourself to Krishna. Bhakti yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, please explain. Presumably that means explain what these things are. Now these terms have been defined differently, but basically karma yoga means to perform activities under the direction of under the Vedic directions with the aim of satisfying the Supreme Lord, or at least with the aim of making spiritual advancement. So it means that one is he's basically on the platform of performing material activities, but he's offering the fruits. He's not attached to the fruits. He's either just non-attached to the fruits, or better stage of karma yoga is to offer the fruits to Krishna. Jnana yoga means when one is no longer attached. Karma yoga means when one is attached to performing fruitive activities, but he does so in a regulated way for the sake of spiritual advancement. Jnana yoga means when he's no longer interested in fruitive activities and he wants to understand what the purpose of life is. And to do that, he takes up the study of the Vedic literatures and generally accepts many austerities also. But he hasn't come to the real platform of knowledge, which is that of bhakti yoga, which is to dedicate all one's activities in the service of Krishna for his satisfaction only. It's a very big subject. This is discussed quite broadly in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. So you please study Bhagavad Gita as it is to understand this subject more deeply.
Have you seen Krishna?
Have I seen Krishna?
Like, as he was then.
As he was then. Is he different now than he was then? As he was when? Is he any different now?
That's what I'm asking. Have you seen him?
Have you
seen?
You are interested to see him. Yes? Well, you're already seeing him. The thing is that you're not recognizing that you're seeing him. Everyone is seeing Krishna. But at the moment, our eyes, we don't recognize him. Just like you may be in a crowd of people and you're seeing someone, but you don't know who they are. You might be walking in the street and the sheikh is there, but you don't know who he is. So he's just walking in the street, because he'll usually go in a big car with a parade of people. So you may see someone but not recognize them. So in that sense, you don't really see. If you see someone but you don't recognize them, then he's not really seeing, is it? So really seeing means to recognize who they are. Now, you can see Krishna. When you see the deity form of Krishna, you're seeing Krishna. When you see everything, that is also Krishna is not different from everything. Krishna is in everything, everything is produced from Krishna, everything is non-different from Krishna. Whatever you see, that is Krishna. You can see Krishna as the rasoham apsukantaya. Whenever you drink, that taste is Krishna. Prabhasmi shashi suryayo, the light of the sun and the moon, that is Krishna. Pranava sarvavedeshu, when you hear the sound om, or any sound, shabdake purushangnashu, that is Krishna. So we are seeing Krishna, but we're not recognizing Krishna. So the process to understand that we are seeing Krishna is to hear about Krishna. This is called shuteikshana panta, to see by hearing. Real seeing means by hearing. Just like if you walk into a laboratory in the school laboratory, there may be some Bunsen burners and test tubes. Now, you just see some apparatus for scientific experiments, but you don't know what it is. To you, you just see some metal and glass and some liquids. But when you are trained that here we are showing how different chemicals react, when you're trained, then you see not only some chemicals and Bunsen burners and test tubes and flasks, but you see that, yes, we're doing the experiment. We're mixing acids with alkalis and producing this and that. So really seeing means to see with the eye of knowledge. The doctor, when they open up the body and they look inside, so you will see, a lay person will see just a lot of blood and horrible things. A doctor will see, you see, this is the malignant tumor. You don't see. You see it, but you don't see because you're not trained to see. So the doctor, someone who's trained, he sees and he knows what he's seeing. And therefore he knows what to do. So we are seeing Krishna, but we're not recognizing. Therefore we have to hear how great is Krishna, how wonderful is Krishna. Then at every step we'll see Krishna. So you have to see by hearing. Anyway, you're seeing. But that seeing has to be qualified by hearing. So you are seeing, I'm seeing, everyone is seeing. But that comes into focus when we hear about Krishna. Although I keep chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, my mind keeps wandering around. I keep losing attention. What should we do? Does anyone else have that problem? What should you do? Chant loudly, pray to Krishna, keep on chanting. The nature of the holy name is that the holy name is attractive. So at the moment we are diseased. We don't have attraction. But if we go on chanting, attraction will come. But also you have to try. You have to bring the mind back. The mind is wandering. You have to, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And the mind has already gone around the world 3 times. Oh, okay, bring it back. It's one of the first verses I learned from Gita to help with this. Yato yato nischalati manas chantalam astiram tatas tato niyam yaitat atman yeva vishamniyat. The very nature of the mind is to wander here and there, but we should again and again bring back. Faith in Krishna as the Supreme Being motivates a person to chant His name. How to get the faith? Should it be dogmatic acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Being? Well, even if dogmatically, either this way or that way, any other way, if you accept Krishna as Supreme and chant, then you're going to be benefited. Whether you're a big philosopher and you understand all the Vedas and Upanishads and have come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme, or you just have simple faith, then you get the benefit. I've seen many people, especially when I was in Bengal, many people, just because that's their culture, they grow up hearing holy name and Krishna is Supreme. They may not be very philosophical, but they very simply accept that. And they chant Hare Krishna. They very much like to chant Hare Krishna. So those of us who are more educated, we're not so fortunate. Our head is filled with so many doubts and so many wrong ideas. So we should, how to get faith? In the modern age, our education is such that we should not have faith in anything except science. And faith in what you read in the newspaper and see on TV. We should have faith in the prospect of enjoying this material world. So our faith is all in the wrong direction due to miseducation. Therefore, we should hear from devotees. In this, that verse I was saying, Satang prasangam namavirya sangvido bhavanti ritkana rasayana kata tajyoshara ashvabhavaga bhagnani shraddha ratya bhakti anukramishyati. By hearing about Krishna and association devotees, faith develops. Many times we hear, how can I get faith? How can I be sincere? How can I control my senses? How to? All these how-to questions. So one good answer for all these questions is associate with devotees. If you associate with those who have faith, your faith increases. If you associate with those who are sincere, your sincerity increases, unless you're absolutely insincere. If you associate with those who are controlled in senses, you also, association acts like that, that the qualities, we imbibe the qualities of those who have them. Now also hearing about Krishna means we should hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We have so many doubts. So by hearing, the doubts are broken. And specifically, if we don't have faith, we should ask, what is the problem? Who asked this question? All right, so that means if you don't have faith, what is the problem? Bring it out and then we can discuss. This is the way faith increases. Why? Well, what's the problem? Why? Do you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not?
Yes, I do, but, you know...
But means not. I do, but. As soon as but comes, then it's not... What is the problem? Why? What objection do you have to Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
I don't know.
Then you have to think about it. Why is it that you can't accept Krishna as supreme? Don't you believe Vyasadeva has written, all the acharyas have written, they all accept all the shastras. So do you accept what Vyasadeva says or not?
Yes,
all right, then no more questions. Then again, bad comes. Now that's the problem. That's the problem, you see? No, I'm not saying this to embarrass you, but the point is you have to bring it out, and then we can find out what is the fault, then we can discuss. The thing is that instead of having faith in Vyasadeva, in Devala, Asita, Narad, instead of having faith in Ramanuja, Madhva, Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have some faith in some nonsense rascal who doesn't have faith in all, who's simply has no spiritual vision and doubts. And all these people who doubt, we don't believe in Shastra, what do they believe in? They believe in sense gratification. All these people who don't believe in this, all their so-called philosophy is to so-called justify living as animals. That's all. For all their philosophy, they're simply living, all their philosophy is simply an excuse to enjoy sense gratification. So you have to see, what is the result? You see, Vyasadeva, he's not a cheater. Prabhupada, why did he come to the Western world to preach Krishna consciousness? What did he have to gain? He only came to benefit us. How he was able to spread Krishna consciousness? Is Prabhupada is speaking all these things? Was he simply imagining it? What do you think? Was he simply imagining all the great acharyas? They have established so many temples. Why? Well, is it simply they have some sentimental idea? They established all this philosophy on the basis of by philosophical discussion. They defeated all philosophy. Is it simply... You see, if you don't believe it, then you have to conclude that all the acharyas are all wrong. Practically, I mean, I don't like to say, but what it comes to is that you're saying they're all fools because they dedicated their lives to preach something which was simply imaginary. So either it's a fact or it isn't. Now which side of the fence do you stand on? There's no middle. Either Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or it's all just a myth. So which way are you going? Yeah, I'm asking you. Well, do you want to stand with all the fools and rascals and meat eaters, and you want to be with them? Who have no better goal of life than simply eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, tomorrow we will all be dead? Or do you want to stand with the great acharyas? Either they were right or they were wrong. Krishna, they all say Krishna is the Supreme Personality. There's no in-between that he's half Supreme Personality of Godhead. Either he is or he isn't. So who's right? You have to follow someone. Either you follow all these rascals, or you follow the acharyas. You have to make the choice. You can't be in the middle. There's no in the middle. In the middle means you're out. You're off the field. Either you're on the field and playing cricket, or you're off. There's no in between. So either you're in Krishna consciousness, or you're not. So you have to make the choice. You should make a choice. You should consider, now we got this human form of life, what are you doing with it? What do you want? You want to be Bill Gates the second, or Clinton the second, or what? What do you want? What is your goal of life? Think. What is the purpose of life? Where have you come from? If Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, If there's no God, then how is everything going on? What is the meaning of existence? Why do you have to die? Why do you have to suffer? There must be some reasoning behind all this. There must be answers to these questions. Well, that I'm saying, this is how you should approach them. You should, introspection is required. What is the goal of your life? What is your purpose? Get clear, then you can go forward. Otherwise, this wavering, dillying, dallying, what's the use? Don't you see this point? Either you have to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or not. Either it's a fact or it's not. If it's not a fact, then, you know, let's all go and drink a few beers right now. Why should we follow all this if it's simply a joke? Either it's a fact or it isn't. What is the difficulty? Either you accept Vyasadeva, all the acharyas, or you accept a bunch of deluded people who have no higher goal in life than to live like animals, that's all. So you discuss, you bring out your doubts. Get rid of them. By doubting you, that won't help you. You can't make any progress. You have to see. Are you more intelligent or Vyasadeva is more intelligent? You know better or he knows better? Vyasadeva says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So is he right or you are right? It's not a very difficult thing for me to understand. There are other questions? What is this? Is this a new question? Hindu mein Ram dikhai dete hai par dusre dharam mein nahi. Hindu mein garv ke kaho hum Hindu hai. Hindu ka kya matlab hai? Actually, matlab Hindu wo shabd jo hai wo koi वैदिक शास्त्र में नहीं है, वो एक आधुनिक शब्द है जो मुसलमान जो भारत में आया हुआ है कहते हैं कि जो वो देश में जो सिंधु नदी के तट पर उस तरफ सब जो वहां रहते हैं सब हिंदू है, हिंदू हिंदुस्तान, लेकिन वो शास्त्रीय नाम नहीं है. तो ऐसा हम सांस्कृतिक दृष्टि में हम बोल सकते हैं कि हम हिंदू हैं, लेकिन वास्तव में हम क्या है? इस जीवन आप हिंदू परिवार में जन्म लिया है, इसलिए आप कहते हैं आप हिंदू हैं, लेकिन कोई नहीं जानते क्या अगली शय किस प्रकार होगा. शायद आप पाकिस्तान में जन्म लेंगे मुसलमान, या कुतश्रय में लेंगे, या स्वाग में जन्म लेंगे. तो वास्तव में हम शास्त्र और शास्त्र और सब उपदेश जो है शास्त्र में वो ही पालन करते हैं. तो शास्त्र का विचार है कि सब भगवान श्री कृष्ण के अंश ममायुर अंश जीवलोके जीवभूत सनातन, यही सनातन धर्म है. हिंदू खानने से सनातन धर्म खानना अच्छा है. और सनातन धर्म का क्या मतलब? ममायुर अंश जीवलोके जीवभूत सनातन, सब कृष्ण के अंश है, कृष्ण के भक्तों सेवक है. कृष्ण और राम तो दोनों एक ही व्यक्ति है, दूसरे रूप में दूसरी लीला प्रकाश करने के लिए भगवान दूसरे रूप लेते हैं, जिसमें कृष्ण और राम